undercover, that's why.
I do?
Oh, that's good. I'm glad I look cool, but I'm not trying to. No. No, I'm incognito. You thought I was in Florida. It's funny. It's me. Well, if I happen to look cool, so be it. All right, I'm not against it. All right, I just have other motives. I have other operandi of the modi department. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender, once again, broadcasting incognito from Broward Community College in Davie, Florida. I really like hobnobbing with the students. I'm walking through this campus. They may think I'm a professor. Most of the time, I have my jacket on. And welcome to Friday, by the way. And I'm loving Friday just like all the rest of the kids on this campus. It keeps you young. I like the energy of the school. There's a Dunkin' Donuts on the first floor of the library. I found out where that was yesterday. Get me a little decaf with a little half and half. And I found a beautiful spot near a window up on the third floor of the library where it's very quiet. I follow all the rules, just like the other students. No chewing gum. No talking on your cell phone. It's just, I feel like a part of the crowd here, and I love it. I'd like to give a special shout out to Root. Now, if I'm pronouncing this wrong, I need to be corrected. Rute, is it Rute Marciano? Young woman in Sao Paulo, Brazil, who's a big fan of the show, watching from South America. So Rute, which is it? I do want to know. I want to get these things right. Shout out to you. Thanks for watching and listening all the way from Brazil. Now, we're going to go back to our friend Albert Einstein. I got one more quote from him. He really had a bunch of nice ones there. Once again, I really think a lot of this guy, and they do here in the math department. Einstein, science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind. Let's analyze this, shall we? Science without religion is lame. In other words, the movement today in universities across the country is to kick God out of his own creation because we're very uncomfortable. I think I know why. Oh, I'm getting excited. I think I know why we're uncomfortable is because, again, of the Christian teachings. We're embarrassed to be speaking of a God who condemns people to hell for eternity, including your grandmother, who don't obey him. And so, as I told you, I may have told you this before, that the evolution guy, Darwin, he was rebelling against the God of his upbringing. He hated the doctrine of eternal torment. L. Ray Smith told me that. Many of you know L. Ray Smith. He passed away last year, maybe it was 2 years ago. No, great teacher on the salvation of all. I brought him to Ohio to teach on evolution, to refute it, because he's brilliant at that, absolutely brilliant. And he brought us the history of Darwin, that Charles Darwin actually despised the God of Christianity. Didn't despise the true God, because he never heard about the true God. He despised the God of Christianity, who would eternally torment people, and so he evolved the teaching of evolution to get God out of the universe. And Einstein probably noticed this trend, and it's ongoing today. And science without religion is lame, and it is lame because you can't. Anybody looks at the creation does not see God. As I'm talking about in my series on Romans, by the way, I don't know how I'm going to get a newsletter out on Sunday. I'm going to try, but I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. All right, it's been a big transition here for me. A lot of things happening, so just warning you ahead of time, you might not see the ZW2F in your inbox on Sunday. I'll do what I can. Don't be surprised if I don't. Did you see the movie Expelled? With Ben Stein, talking about how professors across the country teaching intelligent design are blacklisted and they are persecuted, and many of them lose their jobs, lose their tenure. It's unbelievable how people are persecuted when they try to maintain science without religion. I don't like the word religion. I think what Al means here is science without God, without even if you want to say higher power. The whole thing with intelligent design is that there's an intelligent designer. There must be an intelligence behind the creation. And anybody who has still a modicum of sense, God-given instinct, that hasn't been beaten out of them by formal education or religionists will realize that there must be an intelligent mind behind the creation of the universe. So indeed, Mr. Einstein, science without religion is lame. But religion without science is blind. So now he's turning the tables and he's taking religion to task. He's taking spirituality, people who would support scriptural revelation. Scriptural revelation without science is blind. And as science, true science, will always confirm scripture. Scripture, the writings of God, is not opposed to science. It's in perfect conjunction with science. Just talking about this yesterday with Edith and Sarah, my friends here in Sunrise, the fact that in Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth, and the King James says, and the earth was a chaos and vacant. Sounds like God created it a chaos and vacant, but he didn't. That word was there in Genesis 1:1 is a mistranslation. The word is actually became. Same word used to describe God breathing his breath into Adam. Adam became a living soul. Same word there that the King James guys translate became. That word was translated was in Genesis 1:1. Why? Because they had an agenda. The earth could be very old because God created the heavens and the earth, and there was a long period of time, and the earth became a chaos and vacant. And then God's spirit vibrates over the waters, and we see him recreating the earth. Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and the 6 days of creation is a recreation of the earth. That's why I say there's 6 literal days. There's a morning and a night. That's a literal day. The first day, the second day, the third day. There's no need to make those epics, epical days. The Paleozoic period, the Mesozoic period, all these intricate, multisyllabic words that only make you sound smart but end up being stupid. Professing themselves to be wise, they are made stupid. Romans chapter 1. However, the dating of the earth could be looking at the first earth, because we're on the second earth, in case you didn't know. Feels like a used earth, doesn't it? It is. This is the second earth, and there's going to be one more earth. The new heavens and the new earth in Revelation 21. So, no, we're not going to have science, God help us, without scripture. I'm going to substitute scripture for religion, and we're not going to have scripture without science. It's all homogeneous. That's right. It hasn't been pasteurized. Some of it has, but mainly it's homogeneous. All right. Now, as I told you earlier in the week, I think I'm caught up now, right, with the shows here. I think I told you earlier in the week, the name Daniel, it's very illustrative. It means adjudication by the deity. It gives us the summary of his entire prophecy in one word, and his name means that. His name means that God is dealing with humankind during the era in which the nations are ruling over Israel. Again, we're in a strange time period. And just so you remember this, I want to show you this again. In Matthew's account, you read the genealogy of Jesus Christ. I want you to break it into 3 parts. Again, I know this is review. From verse 2 to 6, we have a theocracy. And we're going back to a theocracy. This is what Daniel and Revelation is about. We're going to be going back to a theocracy where God is ruling directly in the affairs of men. Now he's ruling indirectly, and he's using agents of destruction. He's using poor rulers, and he's using poor laws, using deficient people to run the world, if you haven't noticed. Just call me Mr. Obvious. Now, from verse 7 to 11, I want you to see this in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which also seconds as a helpful history of Israel. We're looking at humans as kings, starting with King David. Even though Saul was the first king, David was the first king in the line of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Babylonian exile is a huge event in the history of Israel. It's when she began to be ruled by foreign powers, and she's there now. And that takes us to verse 16 and the coming of Christ. Now we're in a pause in God's administrations, and Christ is slated to return. In the meantime, God is calling out the body of Christ. And we're not dealing with Revelation right now, but we're going to prepare for it. That's what we're doing here. We're not dealing with Daniel right now. That's history. But we're going to study history because we don't want to repeat it. and it's always bad. Man's history is really bloody. Yeah, I read history books. I used to read them to my kids, and I would just like wring my hands over them. And like this on the Zender Cam, this, like Lady Macbeth. Out, damn spot, out, I say. I memorized one line from Macbeth. I memorized it in high school. We had to memorize a couplet or something, I don't know, a triplet, a whatever. And I remember it to this day. And it has been, what, 40 years? Some obscene amount of time has passed since then. And I still remember this damn line from Macbeth. And it's from his one of the soliloquies. I'm going to repeat it for you now, just whether you like it or not. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day into the last syllables of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life is but a walking shadow, a poor player who struts, and this is when I get English, who struts and frets his hour upon the stage and is seen no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. That's Macbeth. Can't quote the passage, but there it is, or the reference, if you will. So, God is a part of the history, and nothing is futile, even in its futility. Capture this. Download this right now. Today, nothing is futile in its futility, because futility is the order of the day. I repeat, futility, man's incapacity to rule apart from God, is now a necessary requirement, a necessary prerequisite for a display of the glory of God, and especially for Israel. Because in Daniel and in Revelation, we're dealing with Israel. Israel must be humbled. I go to Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. It is an experience of evil. God has given Elohim in the humanity to humble them by it. And we are in that experience of evil. And Israel is in that experience of evil. And they are being humbled because they are being humiliated by being ruled by other nations. This is not her destiny. And it's not our destiny to be under the thumb of this world's systems. We're going to be graduating to a higher system. Talk about an institution of higher learning. Folks, when we get out of here, we're going to have the mind of Christ. All right, thanks for being with me this week. We're going to jump headfirst into this again Monday. This has been Martin Zender. Have a great weekend.